Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Beautiful day. We're going to start our hymn sing, and I already saw some folks with pages marked, so I'm going to start with Alita back there. What's your favorite for today? 206. Verses 1 and 3, I heard, of 206, verses 1 and 3. I saw Deb's hand go up. 196. I heard 196. Come thou long expected Jesus, and there's two verses, so we'll sing both verses of 196. Jesus, born to set thy people free. And do we have another favorite? I think I heard 240. Thank you. 245. She has such a soft voice. 245. And I'm getting there. The first Noel. How about verses 1 and 5? 1 and 5, 245. Last one, I think we have time for another Christmas carol. Yeah, go ahead, Trudy. 534, I heard. 1 and 3 of Be Still My Soul. 534, 1 and 3. Thank you, everyone. We'll now continue with our worship. Thanks,
Good morning. Good morning. And thank you, Diane. That was gorgeous. That was gorgeous. I love Christmas music. So. I'm glad everyone is here today. I would ask that you please sign in on the red pew pad in your in the pew. And be sure to leave the slip in the folder so we know who all was here today. We're not going to hunt you down or anything, but we'd like to know who was here. And I want to say happy birthday to everyone in December. I hope you have both a happy birthday and a Merry Christmas. I have a friend whose son was born Christmas Eve. They're not allowed to have a tree up, nothing until they've had his birthday. Then they can have a tree and other presents. But he got to have his birthday separate from that, which it's kind of a hard way to figure out what you're supposed to do, so that's good. But happy birthday to everyone. I hope you have a great month and a great year. And you do get the whole month. Yes, we made that rule in my office years ago. You get to celebrate the whole month. So, announcements. The December newsletter is available in the Narthex. If you would like to receive it by email, please contact the office and make sure they have your correct email. You can read it online that way. If you prefer to get it in the mail, or you can get it that way, or come to the church and pick it up. The poinsettias order form, this is the last day to turn them in. So if you want to get a poinsettia, please turn it in today. The cost this year is $12. And I believe Deb is collecting those. Okay, just put them in the offering plate and they will be collected. So if you're interested in one of those, please do that. Caroling for shut-ins and anyone needing some Christmas cheer will take place today. They will leave from the fellowship hall at 2 p.m. And please contact the office if you would like us to want someone to come and sing for you or someone else that you know would appreciate the visit. The movie in January 4th, is Miracles from Heaven, based on a true story of the Beam family as they fight to save the life of their daughter from a rare life-threatening medical condition. And I have to tell you, the movies that I've seen, are every one of them have been great. And the food that's there is also good. Food should always be good. That's the way it has to be. The pastor's luncheon in January will be January the 8th at noon at the Legend 8 China restaurant in Kalamasa. The cost will be $15, and you need to let us know if you're coming so we can have a head count. The sign-up sheet is over in the fellowship hall at the same table with the script and everything, so please do, and we have a lot of fun. We had a huge group this month. It was...
We had 30 people at the luncheon.
30 people. And they've still got more tables. So we're good. Now, if there are any other... Oh, I forgot. We are the Cereal Church. Please donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, or any other food items that will help. At the end of the month, it's taken to ICSC. And they can distribute it. And something I saw online, and I've done it once or twice, and I want to do it again, is to put together a birthday cake kit. That's hard to say. You get one of those aluminum throwaway kind of cake pans, 9x13 cake mix, and whatever cake mix. I usually get a white cake. And get like a cream soda or a lemon lime soda, like 7-Up or something. That way they don't need water or eggs or anything else. And a can or a tub of frosting, and I'll get a package of birthday candles. And those pans usually come with a lid, and I'll put some tape on there and make sure I hold it down. And I want to put in, next time I do it, I'm putting in the instructions of how to do it with the can of soda. But that's a birthday kit. Cake kit that someone can take, put together, bake, and somebody's got a celebration, whether it's a birthday or whatever it is. But I thought that was a really neat idea. And everything in there will keep, that's in that pan, will keep for a little while. It's not easily perishable. So that was And like I said, I've done it a couple of times, and it's kind of fun to do. It's not cereal, but sometimes you just need birthday cake. I like birthday cake. Now is the time, if there's any other announcements, I think I've got them all. Now for the lighting of the Advent candle.
Without God's intervention for salvation, the world was hopelessly lost in sin and its penalty. It is truly the good news of great joy that God, through Jesus, came to save sinners. Blessed are those who receive Jesus into their hearts and lives, for the very joy of Christmas is theirs to keep now and eternally. Today we light the shepherd candle of joy.
Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him and from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Let us pray. Dear God, doubts often shake our faith and fill our hearts with fear, but you are the God of Emmanuel. Please grant us Christmas joy once more so that we may celebrate your eternal presence with us. Amen."
And if you would now please stand for the call to worship. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let many coastlands be glad.
The heavens proclaim God's righteousness, and all the people behold God's glory.
For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods.
Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to God's holy name.
And please remain standing for our first hymn, number 234, O Come All Ye Faithful.
O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphal, O come, ye, O come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. True God of true God, life from light eternal, Lord, he nations, not of the heavens. Son of the Father, begotten, not created. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Sing cries of angels, sing in exaltation. O sing, O ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Please remain standing and pass the peace to your neighbors. Thank you.
Alrighty, is my microphone on?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. All right, let's recognize all those who have come to join us via worship. We have quite a crowd on Zoom today, so I'm really happy about that. Good morning, Helen. So good to see you as usual. And today, looks like Judy and somebody in Turkey have come to join us for worship. So we are so happy to see you, Judy. So turn your microphone on and say something for us.
She can't do that now. No, she
can. You can? You can do it.
We can't hear you. Kenny,
all right.
You got to put a microphone in front of the Zoom. Just a minute.
All right, hold on.
Go ahead, Judy.
a bit of technical difficulties. We'll come back to you, Judy, okay? All right, let's go to June and Joyce. So glad to see you. And we will be going to you for Christmas caroling a little bit later. So wait for us. And we are... All right, Bill's here with us. Bill. He is going to have a consultation with the doctors for the hip replacement surgery. So please continue to hold Bill in your prayers. And we have one on iPad. Welcome. And David, welcome. And also Alicia and Chris are with us today. Can you, Judy talk?
They've got one back there.
Okay.
Judy, if you want to try unmuting again, Susan's try got
again,
a microphone
Judy.
In the back. I'm not sure your microphone is working. We still can't hear you.
Well, anyway, Judy, so glad to see you, and so glad to see that man right next to you, whoever that is. We'll soon find out, right? And enjoy your stay there and have a safe travel back home.
I want to start out by thanking everybody that brought toys to help the children's Parents Night Out toy drive. I pulled all the toys back there, and today's the last day to bring them. We'll be bringing them to the fire station so that they can be distributed in time. But I'm really grateful for a congregation that is so giving and so caring and does so much. Thank you. I also want to tell you that if you want to come a little early before we leave for caroling, we're going to be practicing a little bit and warming up at about 1:30. So if you want to come to the fellowship hall a little bit earlier, you can warm up and practice. Judith?
I just wanted to ask for prayers for my family, and particularly my cousins living in Houston. My aunt, their mother, passed away a couple of weeks ago. She was my mother's youngest sister. She was only 6 years older than me. So she's been part of my life every day. And it's been a little rough. So prayers for all of us. Thank you.
Just added prayers for Colleen's mom, that she had surgery late Thursday night. Everything went well, and hopefully, I believe she will be coming home today. So Colleen asked if you guys would keep her mom in prayer. And then secondly, a very, very dear friend from our Elks Lodge, Marie Swain, who was known through a lot of the women's club, Red Hats, and our lodge, passed away Friday night doing what she loved best, playing bunco. So keep the Swain family in prayer.
I have a joy to share. This past Tuesday, I managed to make 84. As a young boy growing up in the 1940s and 50s, there was no way I could imagine living that long, because the men that I was around all worked hard jobs, and when they retired, they didn't last very long, and most people suffered heart attacks. They didn't live long enough to have cancer. So I give thanks to God. I have a joy now. Many of you were here on Memorial Day weekend of 2022. That's when Lorene shared that she was going to be going to UCLA for the first time for some very invasive tests. And she was really, well, we were both nervous about it. And one of the side effects of her eye condition was she had double vision. So while we were doing the joys and concerns, Pastor came down and put his hands on his shoulder, laid hands on her. And after that was over, we were singing the hymns, and the side effect that she had was double vision. And we were standing up singing the hymn, and she started crying. I says, what's the matter? She says, my double vision is gone. It was a true miracle. Well, there's another intervention that happened that I haven't said. Pastor knows about it and a couple of other people, but I want to share it with you. And this is the real deal. On January 25th, I'll never forget, we had gone to bed. We have a nice big king-size bed. I'm in it, Lorene's in it, and Sophie starts out at the bottom of the bed, and by the time we get up in the morning, she's up on the pillows. And like a lot of people my age, sometimes I go right to sleep, and sometimes I'm restless and toss around for a while before I fall asleep. This particular night, I was having trouble falling asleep, but I was completely calm. Wasn't thrashing around, just absolutely just laying there. And I can remember looking at the clock, you know, with the lit up numbers, and it said 10:27. And at that time, all of a sudden, the whole bedroom filled up with light. And when I say light, I'm talking about the brightest white light you ever saw. But it didn't hurt to look at it. And a voice came to me, not through my ears, but telepathically, I guess you would say, and it said, you can come home right now if you want. Well, I knew what that meant, and I thought for a few seconds, then I replied, Lord, I can't imagine how wonderful it would be to be with you in heaven, but you have given me such a great gift of Lorene, I'd like to spend as much time with her as possible. The light faded away. The clock was still on. I know it wasn't a dream. It's something that really happened. I just want to share that with you. God is there for us when we need him.
You know, I just want to remind you that in this church, we get older, we get younger. Right? So at this church, you are 48 years old, not 84. You have many more years to go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Wilson. I'd like to ask for travel mercies. My children have been traveling, and they're all coming home for Christmas. There's two girls, so I'm thrilled for that. I would like to share. Steve and Joanne Dyerly have been members of this church in the past for quite some time. Steve is in Loma Linda University Hospital right now, and Joanne and family can use all the prayers you can muster at this point. So if you can keep them in the foremost, I certainly would appreciate it. I truly believe the power of prayer, and they could use all they can get right now. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. If you would.
My name's Mike. This is my father, Dan. I'm just here visiting. I've been stationed in Japan for 3 years. I just got back yesterday. I'll be down in San Diego for the next 3 years. But I just figured I'd just come through and say hello to everybody and enjoy your service. So thank you. God bless.
Great. Welcome. I'm impressed that you're up with jet lag.
I have a friend who moved to Ireland a couple of years ago to be near her kids and grandkids. We see a lot of each other on the social media, but we also do private messaging. She told me Friday night that her grandson had fallen down a hill and totally lost consciousness. They didn't find him for a couple hours because it was an area they don't normally go to. A neighbor brought him up to their house, still unconscious, and they weren't sure what it had happened to him, but the next day he woke up from that unconsciousness, and it was like nothing had ever happened to him. They couldn't find any bruising or anything, but I consider that a miracle. Like I said, these things don't go out to the public that I get from her, but I just love her sharing with me. Her name is Judy.
Anyone on Zoom, please unmute and share.
Deb, would you check my volume of the microphone? Okay, is it okay now? Okay. I think it's still a little loud.
Got it.
Thank you. Dan has been telling me about how great his son is. how great a Christian son he's got. So even before I met him, I've been telling Dan that I'm gonna have Mike is today to share his message and testimony with us at some point. So welcome Mike, welcome back from Japan, and we will at some point have him here speak to us, and I'm looking forward to that.
If you would all join me now in a unison prayer, as it appears on the screen or in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. God has been so good to us, has given us so many wonderful people in our life circle. Let's hold them up in our prayers. Let's bring unto God the prayers that we cannot share with anybody else, but God knows our need even before we ask. So let's go to the Lord in silent prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that you are our Savior, you are our Sustainer, you are our Messiah, you are our King. You have a full control over our life, our life's path. You reign over our lives. And because you are presence in our life, O Lord, we can humbly confess what a wonderful life it is. Yes, Lord, we see troubles. We've been through a lot. And we see people out there in the world with all kinds of issues. The world is in turmoil. And we sometimes face moments that we have lost control. But, oh Lord, regardless what is going on in our lives, we see you at work. We see you at work on our behalf. And even when we feel so powerless, you have the full control over our lives and you continue to be our sovereign God. And because of you in our life, we can say, what a wonderful life it is. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for having sustained our life unto this day. Thank you for filling our life with your presence. So, Lord, may our hearts and lives be filled with the Christmas joy. May we be able to find you in spite of chaos, in spite of troubles, in spite of doubts, that we may say that you are there with us and we have this life together with you. So thank you, Lord, for coming into our lives and making our lives so bright. As we worship you this morning, O Lord, we come to you asking you to drive out all the dark forces out of our lives. When you shine your light, O Lord, nothing can stand. Nothing evil, nothing harmful can stand you, and they have to go away from our life. So we invite your light to come. We invite the joy of Christmas to be with us today and forever, that we may continue to celebrate our life in you. Acknowledging that you are our sovereign God, we yield to you, we submit to you, and pray that your will that is most perfect and wonderful be done in our lives, in this church, in our communities, in this nation, and in the world today. So we now join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Now for our Young at Heart moment with Deb.
Today's story is Santa's Favorite Story, written by Hisako Aoki and Ivan Gantschev. One cold day in December, a fox was walking in the forest. As he looked at the snowy trees, he remembered that it would soon be Christmas. Then he heard something. He sniffed the air and looked around. There, fast asleep against a tree, was Santa Claus. He was snoring. Oh my goodness, thought the fox. Santa Claus has come early this year. I'd better go and tell everyone he's here. So he hurried off to tell all the other animals that lived in the forest. When they heard the news, the animals hopped and ran and scampered and flew to the tree. A squirrel chattered excitedly, and Santa Claus slowly stretched, yawned, and then opened his eyes to see the faces of a dozen little creatures. "Why are you here?" they asked him. "Is Christmas going to be early this year?" asked the fox. "I'm sorry if I worried you, my friend," said Santa. "I went for a long hike this morning to get in shape for Christmas Eve, but I guess I walked until I got too tired." Maybe all those heavy presents will be too much for me to deliver this year. The animals looked alarmed. Does that mean there won't be a Christmas anymore? Asked the fox. No, 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 Santa said in a kindly voice. Christmas hasn't got anything to do with me. Sit down and I'll tell you all the story of the first Christmas. It happened long, long ago in a faraway place called Bethlehem. Some shepherds were watching over their sheep in the fields outside the town. It was very quiet and still. Suddenly, a beautiful bright star appeared in the sky. The shepherds heard a voice saying, "Do not be afraid. I have good news for you all. Today in the town of Bethlehem, the Christ child has been born. God has sent his son to show what God's love is like. Follow the star to his stable." The shepherds followed the star over hills and through valleys, across bridges and past little villages. All the while, the star shone brighter and brighter until at last it stopped above a small stable. The shepherds and the sheep stopped too, for there in the stable was a baby lying in a manger. The shepherds knew that this was the Son of God, and they knelt down and prayed. And that is what happened in Bethlehem when the Christ child came. It's my favorite story because it reminds me why we are so happy at this time of year. Love was the gift God gave us on the first Christmas, and it still is, you know. And this love is far better than any presents I can deliver. Santa put his hands in his pockets and looked slowly around the circle of animals with a kind and happy smile on his face. How silly we have been, said the fox, to think that Christmas was only about presents. So now you know, said Santa. But come on, you're right that it's almost Christmas. Let's go back to my place and get things ready. All the animals followed as Santa Claus ran off toward his house. He didn't even look tired anymore because he had remembered how much fun his work was going to be. The animals stayed at Santa's house until Christmas Day and helped him every way they could. Of course, the reindeer helped by going out with him to deliver the presents the night before. After a fine Christmas dinner, Santa gave every animal a present. And as they sat around the fireplace later in the day, they all asked to hear Santa's favorite story again. It was a very special Christmas day for everyone. Santa was sure that he had the nicest time of all, though, because he remembered that the best present ever is Christmas itself. The end. May we keep the joy of Christmas in our hearts, this season of the year and always. Amen.
Now for our next hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 230.
Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth and praise this. Blessings of his earth.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place in the guest room. Now in that same region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you all in this beautiful sanctuary worshiping together. And I extend warm welcome to each and every one of you here in the sanctuary and on Zoom as well, and pray that we will all experience the joy of Christmas as we worship together this morning. The lion was proud of his mastery of the animal kingdom. One day, he decided to make sure all the other animals knew he was the king of the jungle. He was so confident that he bypassed the smaller animals and went straight to the bear. "Who is the king of the jungle?" the lion asked. The bear replied, "Why, you are, of course." The lion gave a mighty roar of approval. Next, he asked the tiger, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The tiger quickly responded, "Everyone knows that you are, O mighty lion." Next on the list was the elephant. The lion faced the elephant and addressed his question, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The elephant immediately grabbed the lion with his trunk, whirled him around in the air multiple times, and slammed him into a tree. Then he pounded him onto the ground, dunked him underwater in a nearby lake, and finally threw him up on the shore. The lion, beaten, bruised, and battered, struggled to his feet. He looked at the elephant through sad and bloody eyes and said, "Look, just because you don't know the answer is no reason for you to mean about it." In the animal world, the weak are the prey of the strong. The one with power rules and survives. The food chain manifests very clearly about it. Power governs not only the animal world of instinct, but also humans. Power to control has determined the course of history and created human dramas. There are countless examples of it today. Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the recently collapsed decade-long dictatorship in Syria, Communist China's ambition to invade Taiwan, and oppression in North Korea are notorious instances. But in actuality, the power struggle is happening in every government, business, school, and even in church. How about individuals? People's relationship is formulated by power dynamics. We'll look deeper into this universal drive and what Christ coming into this world means this morning. We read from the Gospel of Luke, but in terms of the gospel talking about Jesus being the Son of God, it is identical message. So I'm going to use the genealogy in Gospel of Matthew this morning to talk about how Jesus is related to David. The Gospel of Matthew from the first chapter to the last chapter present the integral message that Jesus came as a king. The gospel begins with, this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. That's the first sentence of Matthew. Messiah is Hebrew word for the anointed one. In the Old Testament, kings, prophets, and priests were anointed. Jesus served in all three of these functions. The Gospel of Matthew focuses more on Jesus as king. Right after the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah comes the Son of David, emphasizing Jesus was born in David's lineage. To prove that Jesus belonged to David's lineage, Matthew divided the genealogy into three sections of 14 generations: Abraham to Jesse, David's father, David to Josiah at the time of the exile to Babylon, and Jeconiah to Jesus. The beginning and the ending of 14 generations mark a watershed moment in Israel's history. After the Babylonian exile, the nation of Israel ceased to exist. Under this scope, King David sits at the very center of the kingdom of Israel before the Babylonian exiles. Therefore, David was literally the middle point and the most significant figure of the history of Israel. After associating 14 generations with David, Matthew points out that Jesus too was the 14th generation from the Babylonian exile, making Jesus the legitimate descendant of David, born in the God's perfect and grand scheme. Speaking of the genealogy, let's look at the genealogy in Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel traces Jesus' ancestry not on Joseph's side, but on Mary's. According to Luke, Mary too was a descendant of David. Thereby, Jesus inherited the physical DNA of David's family. You know, in Jewish tradition, a child born of a Jewish mother is accepted as a Jew. Doesn't matter what kind of a background the father has. As long as the mother is a Jew, the child is accepted as a Jewish descendant. From the angles of, from the lineage of Joseph and Mary, Jesus was undoubtedly the descendant of David. David was a kind of a figure who became the father, earthly father to Jesus. So there was no direct connection between Jesus and Joseph. But regardless, going through the Joseph's lineage and going through the Mary's lineage, Jesus was the descendant of David. Matthew's first chapter highlights ancestral facts of Jesus as David's son. The second chapter of Matthew adds several proof that Jesus, David's son, was born a king in the king's town. Bethlehem was David's hometown. From the time of Boaz and Ruth, David's great-grandparents, David's family lived there in Bethlehem. God was displeased with the first king of Israel, Saul, and sent Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint the second king. Samuel saw the young boy, David, and anointed him a king in Bethlehem. The Messiah, the prophecy in the Messiah in the Old Testament speak very clearly that a ruler of Israel would come out of Bethlehem. And according to Matthew 2, Herod called those experts, and those experts knew where the Messiah was to come. Also, according to John 7, commoners appear to have known the prophecy that the Messiah was to be David's descendant from Bethlehem. That's when Jesus went to Jerusalem and spent the day in the court of the Jerusalem temple. And as they saw what Jesus was doing, they were questioning if Jesus was the Messiah. And people said, well, he was not actually the descendant of David, because he was regarded as a Nazarene or Galileans. And that's what they said when they said the Messiah was to come out of Bethlehem. And also in the second chapter of Matthew, we see the Magi coming to worship and recognize Jesus as the newborn king of Israel. So chapter 1 and chapter 2, all together, Matthew talk about Jesus was a son of David. He was born a king in Kingstown. How about his death? Before the crucifixion, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus acknowledged he was. So Pilate put a written charge on the cross saying "the king of the Jews" in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek, which signifies that Jesus died as a king for the entire world. The last chapter of Matthew ends with Jesus says great commission, in which said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus proclaimed that he was enthroned as king of the universe, and that's how the Gospel of Matthew ends. The Gospel of Matthew proclaimed that Jesus is indisputably the Christ, the Messiah, the King. He was born a king, lived as a king, died as a king, and rose again as the king. The problem was the public refused to accept him. King Herod, for example, tried to kill him after he was born. Matthew's gospel portrayed Herod as very insecure about his throne. Hearing the news of a newborn king, he was disturbed. He was very cunning. He investigated the place and the time of the birth of the newborn king. Then he sent the Magi to Bethlehem and told them that he wanted to go worship the newborn king himself, when in fact he was going to kill the newborn king. Herod was ruthless. After he learned that the Magi outsmarted him, he became furious and ordered to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, making sure to eradicate any potential threat to his throne. The history agrees with Matthew's description of Herod. He was power hungry and would do anything to secure his position as king. There was a civil war in Palestine in 40 BC, and Herod fled to Rome, where he was nominated king of Judea. And there was no reason for him to be nominated as king of Judea because he was an Edomite, an Arab. To solidify his power, Herod divorced his first wife, Doris, and sent her and his son away and married Mariam, a Hasmonean princess who belonged to an influential priestly family of Jewish leaders. He unwisely played a political game to side with Anthony during the conflict between Octavian and Anthony. After Octavian defeated Anthony, Herod tactfully survived and gained Octavian's trust. Herod possessed a manipulative personality and did anything to protect his interests. Herod did not allow any hint of having a new king to replace him. He displayed a control freak psychological disorder and mirrors how this world runs. Chasing after power and control is commonly found everywhere. The United States is not an exception. Let me give you an example. On October 6, 1865, just month after the Civil War ended, the 13th Amendment outlawing slavery was ratified and became the law of the land. But that didn't mean every state approved the ratification of the amendment. Mississippi state legislature, for example, was dominated by whites, bitter over the defeat of the Confederacy, and they rejected the measure. 130 years passed before Mississippi took action. By 1995, not long ago, Mississippi was the only state in the Union that had not approved the ratification of the 13th Amendment. Finally, on Thursday, February 16, 1995, the Mississippi Senate voted unanimously to outlaw slavery by approving the ratification of the 13th Amendment of the Constitution. Senator Hill Frazier, a member of Mississippi's legislative Black Caucus, said, "I think it's very important for us to show the world that we have put the past behind us." Just as people's reluctance caused a delay in some states ratifying an end to slavery in the United States, so the world is still unwilling to accept Christ's rule. Let's switch gears and look at our personal lives. Do we acknowledge Jesus as our King and humbly submit to his rule? The name Jesus Christ is our confession, recognizing Jesus is our Christ, our King. But is our calling Jesus as Christ followed by our submission to him? Or are we still trying to run life by our ego and narrow vision? Consider our frustrations and see if our frustration resembles that of King Herod. Why are our hearts troubled? Is it because things do not go the way we want? Troubles come from the area where we feel like we lost control. But look at our problems closely. We may have lost control over certain situations, but God's power is over them. When God is in control, there is no need for us to be anxious about. We should rather be at peace. Every nation and every individual have fought over power and control issues for millennia. At the time of Jesus' birth and death, only a handful of people recognized Jesus as King. Jesus being the King is still a big question to many non-believers today. Believers, on the other hand, are divided into different groups. Some believers are fully submissive to Christ's reign, while others are partly submissive. When we give up every self-centered agenda to Jesus' control and live in harmony with God's reign, we will experience peace in our hearts and in our lives. And that's not just for this Christmas, but Christmas to come, many Christmases to come. Amen.
Now's the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You can put those in the plate in the narthex, or you can bring them or send them to the office.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of leaves. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus Christ, as we stand before your cross, we give you thanksgiving. We give you glory, honor, and power unto your name. We give you this offering because we acknowledge that you are our Savior, that you are our Redeemer, that you are our Sustainer. You have come and became the source of all the blessings that we've been blessed with. So recognizing who you are and what you have done in our lives, we offer you our thankfulness unto you, O Lord. Receive this offering, bless it, that it may be used to proclaim that you are the King to all those who still need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And our final hymn this morning is number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin zoo. Veiled in flesh, God has a sea, hell incarnate deity. Pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wing. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. Born to raise us from the earth, born to give a second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Let us pray. Before we leave this beautiful place of worship, O Lord, we recommit ourselves to become your servant today and forever. You are our King, and there is no other. And we will dedicate our life to love you, and serve your people and your church that you have given unto us. So, Lord, bless our commitment to serve you and your people.
and send us forth now in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love, and show you to others, so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from us.